So we're on a very busy street corner in the University District in Seattle right now, not far from the KOW studios. A lot of cars are driving by, and you don't have to wait too long before you see a driver with a cell phone in hand.
And I've actually seen them do it right here where we're standing.
Okay, hold on a sec. Please introduce yourself.
Okay, so I'm Anna Boyko-Wyrock. I'm a reporter with KUOW's Sound Cues team.
And Anna, we all know that using a phone while you're driving is illegal.
Yeah, it is. The law changed last year, and the old law was specifically around cell phones and texting, but the new law made it illegal to use any kind of personal electronic device, like a phone or a tablet or a laptop. You can't even hold it in one hand, and you definitely cannot watch videos on it.
But people still use their phones and drive all the time. I mean, including me.
And I hope by the end of this story, Deborah, you will think twice about that.
I hope so, too. I need to stop.
Yeah, I'm really worried about you. Okay, so our listeners are also wondering about this, and they've been asking us about it, and they wanted to know who is actually writing tickets. Is this law being enforced?
Okay, Anna, well, what is the answer to that question? Is the distracted driver law being enforced?
So the answer is yes. A lot of tickets are getting written, so watch out, Deborah. And I'm going to tell you more about it, and I'm going to take you along for a little ride.
Okay, before we do that, let me just say that this is Sound Cues, a podcast fueled by listener curiosity and produced by KUOW in Seattle. I'm your host, Deborah Wong.
Okay, are you ready? There's someone I want you to meet.
You have a driver's license and registration?
This is Charles Schroeder. He also goes by Chuck.
You don't have your license?
He's a trooper with the Washington State Patrol. He's been a trooper for 27 years.
That's why I'm stopping you, is that the tabs are expired on it.
I rode around with him recently because I figured I'd have a good chance of seeing distracted driving enforcement in action.
I drive around and I'm patrolling traffic and making sure that everybody's minding their P's and Q's.
He literally drives in traffic all day, up and down I-5. His job is to ticket aggressive drivers, people going too fast, basically being jerks.
My head's always on a swivel. It's watching cars come up in my mirrors. It's watching all my mirrors and watching cars as they go by me.
I'm interviewing him, Chuck's driving this unmarked dark SUV, and I'm next to him in the passenger seat. He's checking his mirrors all around him as he talks. He's doing his job. So sometimes his words sound a little staggered.
That's a main way or a big way that I...
Let's face it, I'm actually distracting him. By the time I get in his car, it's 7:45 a.m., and he's already been at work for hours. He starts around 4 or 5 a.m. Next to him in the cup holder, there's a very tall takeout cup of coffee. Chuck got it from the chain store where his daughter works.
It's always an excuse of mine to go and be able to visit her and say hi.
So Anna, this guy Chuck seems like quite a character. How'd you find him?
Well, I found him in the midst of a bunch of data, actually. So as I've been researching this story, I've been going through numbers from the Washington State Patrol. It shows they've pulled over drivers more than 21,000 times in the year since the new distracted driving law passed. All told, law enforcement agencies across the state ticket more than 2,000 people a month for distracted driving. And Chuck, he's the trooper who's pulled over the most people, 356 drivers in the course of a year. Why do you think that is, that you're the guy?
That's a good question. I like to think that I'm a hard worker and I'm supporting the goals and the directions of the state patrol. I think a lot of it is... with my position, I have more time to focus on those kind of things than like the road guys.
The road guys are the troopers you see on the side of the road in marked patrol cars, the white cars. They're not driving around in traffic like Chuck. They're running around to investigate collisions and respond to calls for service. Because Chuck is literally driving in traffic for hours every day, he's just physically in the right place to see what drivers are doing. But there's a technique to it. I've been with him in the car for 30 minutes, and we haven't seen anyone on their phone yet. It strikes me a little like going fishing. You need the right conditions.
Yeah, we're going to go over to 99 and see if we can't spot something here.
Turns out, Chuck made the right move.
See now, like this guy?
A white Mercedes weaving in and out of the carpool lane, fast.
He's going 55 right now in a 45.
Chuck gets behind him, presses a button on the steering wheel, and turns on his flashing lights.
Can I come out of the car with you?
Sure. Just stay kind of at the back door, if you would.
We get out, and as we get closer, you can see the Mercedes has a few dents. The driver hands Chuck his license.
Sorry, I'm trying to get home to my wife.
I could tell you're in a little bit of a hurry there.
I just had a daughter, sir.
You just had a daughter?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Then the driver pulls out his phone to show Chuck his new daughter, so Chuck doesn't think he's lying.
Oh, I would never think you're lying. Nobody ever lies to me.
Oh, they will.
Chuck says the driver was following too close, speeding and using the carpool lane, even though he's driving alone. Also, his insurance expired. Chuck goes back to his car, and I move closer to the driver. His name is Theryl Taylor. He shows me his daughter, too.
So this is a video of your little baby. What's her name?
Lyric.
Lyric?
Yes, ma'am.
Like music Lyric?
Yes, ma'am. Lyric Neve Taylor.
Theryl says he has four kids, and his wife is alone with the 2-year-old and baby Lyric. He just dropped the others off at school. Theryl says he's worried about his wife and postpartum depression. So that's why he's trying to get home to her so fast.
Yeah, wow. How's she recovering? How's she feeling?
Oh, it's, I don't know. Under our circumstances of kind of, you know, in between homes, she's doing best as she could.
He says they keep filling out housing applications and getting denied. Before I can ask any more, Chuck comes back over with a ticket.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
With all those violations and no insurance, Theryl could get a fine of over $1,000.
It's your lucky day, call a baby shower gift or whatever.
But instead, Chuck gives him a fine for $136.
This is a carpool violation.
Yes.
That's all it is. All right?
Yes.
All right. Take care of that baby, all right?
Yes.
You have a safe day.
Thank you.
All right.
Back in the car, Chuck says it's a judgment call how much to ticket someone.
I think I got my point across, and I think we parted as in good terms, and hopefully I changed his driving habits, at least for a while, I hope.
That's kind of his philosophy.
I think most of the time it's a better approach. You have more effect, I think, on people.
And it's easier for everyone if he keeps it cordial.
Okay, we're going to take a break from the road, and we'll be back with Anna and Officer Schroeder in just a moment.
Hey, Sound Cues listeners, I'm Jeannie Yandel.
And I'm Eula Scott Bino. We're the hosts of Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace. Hey.
Hi.
It's a podcast from KUOW that armors you up for dealing with sexism at work.
We all exist in sexist workplaces because we live in a sexist world.
Our podcast knows two things are true.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, your workplace is sexist.
Facts.
Even if it's not visible, and even if you work for yourself.
And yes, there are things you can do to push back.
Battle tactics.
We take on the gender pay gap.
Disrupt manterruption.
And stop imposter syndrome in its tracks.
Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
We get back on I-5 and hit heavy traffic. For us, these are ideal conditions. In the sea of traffic, Chuck zeroes in on a black Honda Civic.
See how she's talking on her phone?
Chuck pulls her over. The driver is flustered, can't seem to find her current insurance card, and calls her husband.
Hi, sweetheart. Guess what? I got pulled over, talking on the phone.
She rummages around.
In the glove box? Where?
Eventually, she uncovers a small white square of paper at the very bottom of the glove box. Back in his car, Chuck prints out a ticket for $136. He goes back to her window.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's the bad news. Yeah.
And gives it to her. She reaches over to shake his hand. She says, thank you for your service.
All right. You have a safe day.
We get back in the car. Less than 2 minutes later.
Oh, okay. Right here.
A driver in a white truck, phone in hand.
Typing off and on with his right thumb.
In the lane to our left.
No.
Stopped you for the texting while you're driving.
Oh, looking at a map.
Yeah, can't do that.
The driver says he was looking at a map. His name is George Markovich, and he's a nursing student on his way to class.
Did you know that you're not supposed to hold your phone in your hand?
I thought if you're, like, looking at it, it's okay. I mean, they have laptops in their cars, so I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, I see them typing on laptops while they're driving, so yeah, not to be mean, but it's like, I feel like if not much to say about it. But.
George says he tries not to text in traffic.
On the highway, I'm too afraid to. Not because of, like, tickets, but because of an accident. So, yeah.
But when you're not on a highway, how often do you text and drive?
I mean, it happens.
But George says he tries to keep the texts, in his words, short and sweet. Chuck comes back and gives him the ticket, $136.
All right, you have a better day, okay?
You too.
Back in the car, 4 minutes go by.
There we go.
Perfect example.
Another violation. Another $136 ticket.
You have a safe day.
Three people and about a mile and a half. There are undoubtedly more out there, somewhere, with their phones.
Hopefully you catch all of them that you can see. Obviously, there's more out there than what we can catch. You just hope that they don't hurt anybody.
So, Anna, how many people do actually get hurt?
Yeah, in Washington State, distracted drivers kill about 130 people a year. It's really dangerous. It's really like driving drunk or even worse. In fact, you're four times more likely to cause a crash if you're talking on a phone and driving.
Wow. Okay, so is this new law in the state making anything better? I mean, are these tickets actually deterring people?
It could be. It looks like people are using their phones less as they drive now. The Washington Traffic Safety Commission does these observational surveys where they stand on the street corner and watch people as they drive by. And they found fewer drivers are holding a cell phone now. Last year, close to 6% were holding a cell phone, and this year it was closer to half that. And just one small caveat before we go. The law has really only been enforced for less than a year at this point. So researchers are going to keep getting data and trying to get a better picture of what's going on.
Wow, that's really interesting. Anna, thank you so much.
Have a safe day, Deborah.
Okay, and I will not use my cell phone anymore behind the wheel.
I appreciate it.
This story was inspired by listener questions. If you have a question about Seattle or our region, head on over to our website, kuow.org/soundcues, and drop us a note. Your question might be featured in a future episode. Sound Cues is a production of KUOW in Seattle. Matt Martin is our producer. Jim Gates edited this story. Our production team includes Anna Boyko-Wyrock, David Hyde, Gil Agutter, Jill Jackson, and Brendan Sweeney. Michael Parker composed our theme music. I'm your host, Deborah Wong. Thanks for listening.